like a river, I am delivered and whole. Love flows, saving the sinner, Jesus the giver of hope.
But of course, the notes are going to be up on YouVersion, so you can follow along on that, and we'll put the message up on Podbean so you can listen to it. I'd love to turn your attention, if I can, into your Bibles, to Matthew chapter 11, to a passage of Scripture we read just a little while ago. Jesus said these words in Matthew chapter 11. He said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light." We all have burdens to bear, don't we? On the one side, the pressures of looking ahead and the worries, and on the other side, the shame of our past and the mistakes that we've made. And right in the middle, the crushing weight of the present. Into this, our very present and this real world that we live in, Jesus speaks these words, "Take my yoke. Take my yoke. You've been carrying your weight for such a long time now. Are you tired? Are you worn down by it? Have you had enough? Is it getting heavy yet? You should feel my arm." So he says, "Take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you." I want to talk to you today about the cross, this cross that we see behind us. And there's potentially a little bit of heresy in my message, so I just clearly put that out right now. There's conjecture and there's opinions, but nevertheless, I am right. There are many arguments on the exact cross that Jesus was crucified on, how it was made up and things like that. For the truth is, the Romans had many types of crosses, and a number of different forms and options on which they crucified people on. They used literally cross beams like an X and just spread the people out on that. They had people on full crosses like the pictures that we see and we're used to all the time given to us from the Catholic Church. They used to crucify people on just straight poles as well. They'd even crucified them on Y-shaped structures. Were different ways. They also had fixed centerpieces that were knocked into the ground, and then horizontal beams that they were attached to the people and then hoisted up and crucified. Some believe this is the most likely way that Jesus was crucified, especially when we know that a sign was fixed to the cross above Jesus' head for people to see and read. For the purpose of my message today, we're going to go with that. So what does this mean? Well, it means that the cross is made up of the horizontal and the vertical. This means that Jesus carried the beam he was to be crucified on. Jesus carried the horizontal so that you could embrace the vertical. That's the message. The temporal and the eternal. The natural and the supernatural, the way and the weight of the world, the way and the ways of the kingdom, the flesh and the spirit. See, when I was meditating on this passage of Scripture from Matthew chapter 11, "Take my yoke upon you," came to me a very simple and an unexpected truth that you can't take up his cross, you can't take up his yoke until you first put yours down. That's the difference. See, so many people want to add Jesus to their world. You can't do it until you put yours down. The horizontal. That's my message today. That's my title. The horizontal. I think life kind of tries to get us focused on the horizontal, doesn't he? Doesn't it? The enemy comes in, tries to get us consumed with the horizontal, worrying, fussing, feeling overwhelmed. And I think this is a big part of the message of the cross. I've found this thought woven through the fabric of Scripture so many times. And since I started thinking and reflecting upon this, it's like verse after verse after verse. I've got to share a couple with you today. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 says these words. Paul writes, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. And then he says this, I want to suffer with him, sharing his death horizontal, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead vertical. How about Romans chapter 8, verse 11? The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead horizontal, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you vertical. Isn't it interesting that Jesus was laid horizontal in a tomb, but when they came back, he was vertical in the garden? Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out horizontal, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord vertical. Are you seeing this? I have more. I see a constant tension between the horizontal and the vertical, between the natural and the supernatural, between the flesh and the spirit, between the pull of the world and the power of the cross. The ministry of Jesus was all about getting your eyes off the horizontal. In fact, we know a famous scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus speaking, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, vertical. And all these things will be added to you, horizontal. So many times in our life, we get caught up and consumed with the horizontal when God goes, no, seek first the kingdom. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, you can read it. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, vertical, endured the cross, despising the shame, horizontal, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you see this? When Jesus called Peter to come and follow him, he used a distinctive phrase to help him understand the calling. He said, Peter, you've been a fisherman. That's fantastic. It's something that I'm going to use. He said, but right now I'm calling you and I want you to become a fisher of men, vertical. When Peter denied Jesus in the garden and watched him die, and along with it, a lot of his hope and his joy, and he went back to what he knew best, and it wasn't fishing men vertical. He went back fishing horizontal. So many times in our lives, when we're trying, God's trying to engage us in the vertical, the world will try to pull us back to the horizontal. But God says, I want you to flick your attention. I want you to change your perspective on this. I don't want you to be so consumed with the horizontal, for this world is passing away and soon will be no more. So lift up your eyes. From whence comes your help? Your help comes from the Lord, from the vertical, not the horizontal. The answer was never in your bank account. It was never in that relationship. It was never found in that job or those children or that just got to reach that goal. The answer has always been in the vertical, not in the horizontal. God wants us to fish for men. He wants us to have an eternal concept. And in these last few minutes that we have together today, I want us to have communion together on this Good Friday. And so I'd ask the hosts right now, you could begin to hand it out. I'm going to get the band to come up because it just creates this beautiful atmosphere. Because I can't do the instruments and talk. Not that good. But over this Easter weekend, so many things can grab our attention. And you know, every year when I watch some of this stuff go on, I think about, you know, Christmas and Easter. These are the two most significant events on our Christian calendar, and to a large extent, you know, we celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas and we celebrate the death and resurrection at Easter. They are sacred to us. They're not about presents and they're not about eggs and they're definitely not about bunnies. Unless you're eating them, I like a good rabbit stew. They're about Jesus. the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, and we got to behold His glory in two realms, the glory of the man, horizontal, and the Savior, vertical. The Word written, logos, horizontal, the Word rhema, eternal, vertical. This is interesting because communion itself that you're grabbing today, I don't know if you realize this, but even illustrates this message. See, the disciples were gathered together for the Passover. We're going to see this at our Easter experience just on Sunday with the people that you invite. The disciples were gathered and sat down at the table. They met at a table, horizontal. They sat at a table, horizontal. The table, the room, the building, the disciples, they're long gone. So we don't meet at a table. Guess where we meet? The cross. The cross. Jesus said, "This is my body, horizontal, given for you." And he used these words, "This is my blood, not given, poured out, vertical, for you." What you hold is not a remembrance of the Passover, despite what some people will try to make you believe. What you hold in your hand is not to bring to remembrance a day in a room where they hung out at a table, where Jesus was betrayed by Judas. What you hold in your hand is to point you to the cross and realize the eternal nature of the sacrifice that happened right there. As he bore every piece of our horizontal, that's what he carried to the cross. He carried the burden for us. Isaiah says that he bore our iniquities, our infirmities, our sin, the times that we missed the marks, our shortcomings, our mistakes. He carried our sickness and our diseases upon his body. By his stripes, healing came. That was all to do with the horizontal. They touched his body, but they couldn't break his spirit. And it was interesting because the words, he gave up the ghost. He said, "It is finished." In other words, he released it. And in John, it even talks about this where he says, "It's so much better that I go, because if I go, I can send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you forever." And Paul writes about that and said, "The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will dwell on the inside of you and quicken, stir up, awaken, enlighten in your mortal body." Changing the horizontal confinement to a vertical revelation. Changing being so caught up in the temporal things that seem almost overwhelming in the moment, and say, "There's so much more to this." It's the power of understanding that the horizontal no longer has the power on our lives anymore because of what Jesus did. The testimony that stands for all time. So this morning, as we eat this bread, we realize that this is the bread that represents his body broken for us. But that through the breaking of his body, our lives don't have to be broken. That through the shedding of his blood, and this blood is so much more than just normal blood, it's eternal blood. It's blood that still intercedes for us, blood that still covers our lives. And though we do it as a symbol, this is the wonderful thing. It's not a horizontal symbol, it's vertical. It's powerful. It isn't in the power of the liturgy, the horizontal. It's in the power of the very real and living gospel of Jesus Christ. So in this moment, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you sent your Son into this world, and he who knew no sin became sin, so that we who were disconnected from righteousness could say that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He who was never broken was broken, He who was never alone was alone and separated and said, my God, why do you forsake me? He'd never understood being forsaken ever before. But in that moment, he did. In that moment, he embraced every human emotion, everything on the horizontal plane, so that we could be released from that and realize that we don't need to live in that moment anymore. That he who the Son has set free is free indeed. So we remember the sacrifice as we eat and drink today. Eat and drink together, Jesus. Wonderful thing today is as you pass your cups to the end is you have a choice to make, and I love you to just close your eyes for a moment, bow your heads, don't worry about anybody else around you, and I don't want you to be distracted because this is just me and you talking just one-on-one. Because the truth is, the reality for a lot of us is we come into this place and we go through our life carrying the weight of this world. We even use those sayings like, ah, man, I just feel like the weight of the world is on my shoulders. But this morning you have a choice to let that go. Just like the picture of you saw of me holding that plank this morning when I began to preach. There came that moment that if I truly believed that the words of Jesus, which is my yoke is easy, you can do this, you can carry this, then I had choice to make. I have to set my burden down. I have to set my yoke down. How do I do that, Rick? How do I pick up that yoke of Jesus, set that down? It's I don't understand. Well, let me make it really easy for you. It's the power of a decision. One small decision could change a life. So this morning you got the opportunity to make that decision, and this decision is very simple. It's accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. It's choosing to follow Him rather than just staying with your own understanding. It's making that determination down on the inside to go, I don't want to live just the same way anymore. So this morning, I will. And so in your heart, you're saying, I'm choosing Jesus. And in that moment that you say that, you're setting aside all the distractions, all the burdens, and Jesus is hearing it and coming, yes, yes, I'll come into your world. Yes, I'll come and stand with you. Yes, I'll come and walk with you. Yes, I'll come and carry that for you. Yes, I'll come and carry it with you. Yes, that's what saying yes is. And this morning, in this place, I'd love you to say yes. Maybe for the very first time, you'd say yes to Jesus. Maybe you've prayed this prayer before, but you've been away from God and you've realized that you've kind of set down the things of God and gone back to taking up your own things. But you know this morning you've got to make that choice. So we're going to pray together right now, and I'd love you to just join your hearts with me in prayer. Father, we come into your presence and I ask you to forgive me. I ask that you'd forgive us, Lord. We whisper our agreement to this prayer because we don't want to be disconnected anymore. So this morning we make this determined decision to receive you as our Lord and our Savior, so that our lives can be transformed, so that we don't carry the weight of this world anymore. But you teach us how to let it go. Teach us how to be released. Teach us how to listen. Stay connected to your presence even more. And we receive you and ask for your forgiveness right now in your name. Amen. Amen. Maybe this morning you prayed that prayer. We'd love to celebrate with you. And as I look across, I'd love you to put your hand up if you prayed that prayer with me, maybe for the first time, or you prayed it, you just gave your life back to Jesus Christ. If that's you this morning, I'd love you to go, yeah, because the Bible says this, that if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, if there's an outward expression of it, then you will be saved. And so I encourage you going, yes, I made that decision this morning, Rick. And as I look across, I don't want to miss anybody. Go, you prayed that prayer, you came back to Jesus. God bless you, God bless you. Come on, give it up for these guys. Great decision. That is just so wonderful. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. I want to encourage you, if you did make that decision for Jesus, then we want to be able to stand with you and partner with you as well. Or maybe, you know, you're a bit shy to put your hand up. We've got cards in the pockets in front, and on them they say, I have decided. I'd love you to pull one of those cards out and put your details on there so that we can actually make contact with you and pray with you, encourage you, get somebody in your world to help and just to support you on your journey to know Christ. Maybe you didn't pray that prayer, but you can still put your details on that card and get it up to our host team up at the Yes Desk so we can find out all about that. Well, we're going to go out just worshiping Jesus. I'd love you to stand to your feet and thank you so much for coming out on this Easter Friday. Don't forget, Sunday is going to be phenomenal. And I'm so excited for it. Let's be praying, church. Come on. Let's be praying. God, bring people to the house to make decisions for Jesus Christ and see lives turn around. God bless you.